and turn to page 869, Jerusalem Bible. Good morning, everyone. We're now in the period referred to as Ein HaMetzorim, based upon the verse in the Book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 3, where it says that the Jewish people, Yeshva Bagoyim, they live amongst the nations and have found no rest. All those that pursue the people, they reach them between the straits. So these 3 weeks, of all the sufferings ever known amongst mankind, they represent the worst type of suffering for our people. It finds no rest. And Bein HaMetzarim has really two types of meanings. Straits means to be confined, which creates terrible suffering. So the two dates from the 70th of Tammuz till Tisha B'Av, these have been the most serious calamities that have ever come upon our nation, including also the Holocaust. Because the First World War began on Tisha B'Av. The Second World War was really a continuation of the First. That's how it's described by one of the greatest contemporary historians of the time when this took place, Churchill, who regarded the two world wars, the first and the second, as being connected one with the other. Anyone knows the history of the nonsense, he calls it the Second 30 Years' War of the European nations, which then spread to the whole world, and including the Holocaust. So these are difficult times, and we notice also, we can say, that the worst threats that have ever come from the state of Israel, from all sides, amongst the nations of the world, have been experienced in the last days, getting worse and worse. I mean, Daesh is becoming, to some extent, identified with Hamas, and they're on our southern border, and also the northern border, Syria, the north, with Hezbollah, and they in the south, and we're being excluded from any support from the nations of the world on all sides. This is extremely difficult for us to know how we can keep our present situation. In fact, on the one hand, the threats are enormous. On the other hand, most of the killings that take place and the murders so far, let's hope will continue, they're killing one another. It's also terrible to see how they're killing so many innocent people, using also chemical warfare. And the situation is certainly extremely threatening, but Hashem seems to be giving us threats. The only way we can explain the situation, in fact, is because Hashem is protecting us against all these threats against us, and on the whole, they're killing one another. But it's Bein HaMetzorim. The other explanation of Bein HaMetzorim has to do with the border of Eretz Israel. Because the borders are very narrow. It means we had great miracles that gave us wider borders. But unfortunately, we've gone through such a period where the heads of the state thought it was necessary even to shorten our borders, limit them all, and to drive out the Jews, their own Jews, from one of the most productive areas of Eretz Israel. And they gave it over to our enemies, thinking that it was land for peace. But it says it's been making our land smaller, willingly, from the state of Israel. And what do we get in return? Not peace, but pieces. But pieces, however they use it, to go and destroy us. As the tower, as the roots of shooting more weapons against us. That's what it's been used for in Azar, which was at one time Gush Katif. So that's Bein HaMetzorim. And now the whole question is, are we going to go back to the 67 borders, which our enemies really only regard as called the salami approach? Step by step, they want to take away more and more of our land. The land really belongs to Am Yisrael. And we know that in the West Bank, there's so many pockets of our enemies of Hamas, and maybe even Hamas on the whole contain also pockets of Daesh. So it's a very serious situation. So we have to be on all fronts. This is Kodrotfeo Hisugu Bein HaMetzarim. But there is, you know, there is a way where one, where we hope that Rotfeha also means Rodef Yudkei. Those who really pursue Hashem, they will be able to reach Him even in the time of the greatest suffering. In other words, there's a hidden power of Hashem also behind the Book of Lamentations. It don't us to lament and feel the suffering, and we can say the Jewish nation as a whole is still suffering from the trauma of the Holocaust, and they see it. They see threats of the Holocaust returning. The threats are there, even in places where previously the strongest enemy of the Nazis was Great Britain, and even there they chose the 17th of Tammuz to go and demonstrate that underground they're pretty strong, even in England. And I just read a report, they made a survey the last few months. The main people are being targeted in England, apparently, is more the religious, those who show themselves to be Jews. Many people don't look like Jews at all. But people who adopt tzitzis or a kippah and so on, so they identify themselves, they've got a beard. So then they identify themselves as Jews, and they're a target of constant anti-Semitism. And the neo-Nazi movement is rearing its ugly head even in the middle of England. Although we're very fortunate, and I just read that this Yeshua, Bonhill, who is, I think he's even been arrested, but he said in private, he's arranging to burn the Talmud and to tear up the Israeli flag. He's doing it in private. They're going to produce a video of it in order to continue their attempt to make London Judenrein, to get rid of the Jews. And he doesn't hesitate to make a poster which indicates gas treatment and a return to Auschwitz for the Jewish people. So that sort of symbol arises even in England. And in France, it's even worse, and all over. Even in America, we also have problems. So, but what should it all teach us, that Hashem is there in a hidden way? Why does Hashem allow it? So that we would pierce the darkness and know Hashem is teaching us what we've described before as the birth pangs of the Mashiach. If we'll do teshuva, then the birth will be fantastic. And we can do teshuva all the time. Hashem is, it was being explained already, Hashem is teaching us, do more teshuva. Now let's go to this more deeply, because it's clear from all the sayings of the prophets, we'll go through them more deeply. goes starting from Bereshit, where are the seeds of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim, what happened to the forefathers, is a type of indication of what might happen in the future. That means if we have complete teshuvah, so then the fulfillment always would have been for blessing, because there's a great principle in all the prophecies of doom that are given to our prophets, the true prophets, that any prophecy of doom is on a condition that we have not done teshuvah. If we've done enough teshuvah, they'll all be nullified. And this indicated to us by a universal message of the prophet Yonah, and Yonah is the dove. Yonah represents the people of Israel, and we know the doves are birds of great peace, peacefulness. You see them around here all the time. How the doves and the pigeons, they spread love, they've got their own love, non-stop, and they build nests. And so therefore, people of Israel are compared to the dove. That's just, you know the song, Yoinu Motzav Omanoyach, that's Mirus for Seol Shabbos, is connected with that the dove found its rest, and it's a symbol of Israel ultimately finding and producing peace, and it's become a universal symbol of peace, is the dove with the olive leaf in its mouth. And that's the people of Israel were saying, even when there's a mabul, even when there's a threat of universal holocaust, and using non-conventional weapons to destroy, and there Iran are spouting this all the time, and America is giving in, and they're saying we have to give in, you know. So they are busy preparing themselves more and more atom and nuclear bombs, and they're getting, as it were, a passport to this from America. That's why it seems to be the situation. So they're not the only ones. There are others preparing already, you know, because kind of a counterbalance. The situation seems to be the mabul. So people of Israel, we come as the Yonah, the dove of peace. So it says, if you go more deeply into the whole situation, what's going on here? Why is Israel the top news item in the headlines of all the mass media? And there's so much lies concerning Israel, concerning the Jews all over the world. And every aspect of anti-Semitic propaganda and activity, which we thought had been buried after the Holocaust, is coming back to life, and a very serious situation on all sides. But we continue to know that Hashem is behind it. Even I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that you, Hashem, are with me. And we know all the suffering, threats we're getting. What does that mean? Your staff and your crutch. Shevet is a staff of chastisement to make us better human beings. And a crutch is when you're a bit crippled, so you need to go around with crutches, mishan. We say Hashem, the way he deals with us with shivtcha umishantcha, the two together, that's what gives me consolation. So it's a very deep message here. As follows, that we know Hashem brings punishment. He says, Ashur Shevet Api, when I brought the Assyrians, Anasancheder, to destroy the majority of the Jewish people and scatter them all over the globe, Anasancheder, he destroyed the whole area of the 10 tribes, that being Matsarim. Previously, the Jewish Commonwealth was from right the north from Golan till Eilat in the south. And then it became narrow and narrow because even time to do Tamikdash. And Zanchiru took away the whole northern area. He conquered it and made it desolate, and only the Samaritans could get back in. And the Samaritans, Hashem Shomron, there were non-Jews who were against worship idols. And the rest of the people were scattered all over the world. We find remnants of them in South America and in India, all over the world. They're remnants, but they become lost, entirely assimilated, and even being submerged amongst the nations of the world, it's the 10 tribes. What was left? The area of Yehuda and Binyamin, that was what was left. Until Nebuchadnezzar came. Towards Hashem said, Asher Shevet, it's a staff of chastisement. To teach you, the people of Israel, there will always be a core of Jews left who will listen to the prophets and take note. However few there are, they're called She'erit HaPleita, what's remnant. The remnant was Yehuda, also the Beit HaMikdash. When that was destroyed, the remnant was taken out of the land entirely to Babel, but some of them came back, a very small amount of Jews came back, only less than 50,000 came back under Ezra and Nehemiah, Jews, and they established the second Beit HaMikdash. But Hashem Yisbarach will start the people of Israel from whatever few there are. And those few will recognize, and they have to recognize, Hashem uses the power of the nation of the world to chastise us, because he said, you are the ones who are the dove. You are the ones who have to follow Abraham Avinu as one person fighting against the idolatrous and the corrupt social environment in which he was placed, amongst the 7 nations who were dedicated to evil, amongst the power of Sodom and Amorah, who were an anti-chesed group, who believed in people who are wealthy become more wealthy, and will not allow the poor people to come and have any benefit from those who have. Well, the essence of Hashem is loving kindness, and our people have to follow that path. So this is our task today. The world's left with just a very small board. We've reached again, some say, a similar level of population of Jews in the world. Very fortunate. We thought we'd always be very small after the Holocaust took away a third of our nation. But we've come back to the pre-Holocaust number of Jews in the world. But unfortunately, the vast majority of those Jews know nothing about Judaism. So therefore, whom is Hashem addressing? Those who do know about Judaism. Because they're the ones who are responsible, those who have the ability to be able to sit here and listen in Yerushalayim, near HaKodesh, listen to Shiurim, were part of the survival of the Jewish nation. And we have to treat ourselves. We have to treat ourselves with the concept of the survivor from such a situation has responsibility, because he survived, to help those who have not survived. We can't help those who are dead already, not directly in any case, indirectly maybe, but we can help those who still exist in body, but they have not absorbed the teachings of the wealth of the Jewish people. The spiritual wealth. Therefore, it's our duty to prepare ourselves. That's called what fair he say good. To say, you know, Hashem is chastising us as a nation, like one body, like a father who sees the son going the wrong way, so he gives him a bit of punishment. So the punishment is not out of hatred, out of love, but he wants him to become true. That's why Shivtuch Mishantacha, Hema, they're together. It's together the staff of chastisement, together with a crutch that will help us cripples get back to our health. Like a person who fell, they can't walk properly, so for a few months he has to walk on crutches until he learns to walk properly, and then he's back to his health. That's what happens. There's some people, they fall, and they fall so much, and they're crippled, and they don't have faith, and as a result, they deteriorate month after month. They can't get back to walking, they have to lie down all the time. A lot depends upon their spiritual level. You see that even today with sick people, where I have to have quite a lot of personal experience from my siblings, who have to have to deal with it, have to deal with even now. And I know the situation like this, if they've got a strong spirit, they'll work hard, they'll walk on crutches, they'll go with a walker, and after a time, if they survive, if they have a strong spirit, they get back to walking, they get to exercise, they get healed, because they know all the suffering which I'm having is in order to steel myself, to become stronger and get over it. So that's what we have to do in our time. And now what is the situation? If you study more deeply what the prophets say about the future before the Mashiach will come, when it says, if you do teshuva by yourselves, you don't need this chastisement. You're like a good child that follows the parents and is enthusiastic about fulfilling the will of the loving father and mother. But there are other situations where we don't just listen to the words. The words don't change us. So Hashem, He gives us chastisement, and He asks us, "I'll give you crutches," and the two together will bring you back to full health. So what's the Himilachamuni? Then it says, "Now I've learned that the task of life is to run after loving kindness, because I'm a survivor. Therefore, I've got to run after it." Like I've known Holocaust survivors who suffered terribly. And what did they do when they survived and they got over the first stage? They were generally speaking, for a few decades, they didn't want to speak about the Holocaust, so it was so terrible. And they said that's why they could. For many of the Holocaust survivors, you can't even until today get an account of what happened then. And then some of them, they still act a bit like zombies in certain parts of life. They all become sugar from it. But there's those, the true survivors who took the lesson, they learned from it. If I've been able to get out of this Gehinnom, it's called the 70 different stories of Gehinnom, was the Holocaust. I'm able to get over it. I'm a survivor. Now, the best thing I can do is to do as much loving kindness as possible. And you want Holocaust survivor, and he says like this, when I was in the Holocaust, of course I often was starving, that's where everybody starved. And Baruch Hashem, he came out, he became a good businessman, and made quite a bit of money. He said his greatest joy in life is when he has his table filled with people. He didn't have a home the night, a home of Shabbos, so he invited, every Shabbos, he invited a lot of people to his house, and they enjoyed so much to see how they enjoyed the food. It gives them so much power. He says, "Is the power of starvation, which I myself tasted, gives me now the ability also to give money to hospital, to give money to yeshiva, to go and spread out whatever I've got for others." And that's what gives me strength. That's the crutch which we're given. Do chesed. So that's what happens with happened. I mean, one of the greatest people in this, I had also the great zechus to be close to him, the closing book of Rebbe. Even straight after the Holocaust, what he did for the displaced persons who came out, didn't know it, they would live like zombies, he transformed them into happy human beings, all the time trying to make people happy. One of the most important things ever, and it turns out now, they made a survey of all the hospitals, and from various different angles, and the Lanyada Hospital, which he founded, where the people who work there, they have to undertake never to go on strike. It's also the only hospital in the world. Because he made a vow to Hashem, he said, when he was about to be killed. So he said, "If you will save me," I turned all the details up. He gave a fantastic drosha at the groundbreaking of that hospital which I attended. I was close to him. So when I get out of here, I'm going to create a hospital where all the people will be healed. And today, there's been a survey, sort of a few days ago, that it's got the highest level of many different areas, because they deal with the patients in a fantastic manner. Also, for example, just an example, it's occurred with me, because they have diabetes, they have a special day. You can come for the whole day, and then make you a total test of every aspect of your body. And then they have biggest experts on diabetes, and they give you such a thorough investigation that it cannot be given by one specialist. They have all different specialists in every different aspect of nutrition, and whether it's got to be endocrinology, blood cancer, all different areas, and they do it systematically, and they give this whole day. Fantastic service they give to the public. And it doesn't make any difference whether people who come there are Palestinians or they're Jews, whatever they are, open to everybody. So that's the concept of finding Hashem through the suffering. So what does it say in the prophets? That the final period of the most terrible birth pangs just like the night is darkest just before the dawn. So it's called Shachor, Alot HaShachar. Shachar is the morning. It was the first point of the morning. It's the point which is darkest. And then comes Alot HaShachar, when the darkness goes away a little bit in the morning. Can't see the sun yet at all. You can see some reflections of sun rays come up. That's where Alot HaShachar. The darkness goes away. But just before that moment, it's completely dark. Because the moon you can't see shining anymore. The stars you can't see either. So it's completely dark. And that's the time, that moment, when the sunrise is reflected in the first rays of the sunlight coming above the horizon. So that's the situation we're in now. The moment which is darkest of all. And the birth pangs which are strongest, which is in a case of regular birth, just before the baby is born, it's the strongest. And sometimes it's a difficult birth. It's great pain. And at those moments, the mother says, I can't stand it, and I prefer not to have a child even. That's why she's got to bring a sin offering. Why a woman's giving birth to a child, she'll bring thanksgiving offering. Why a sin offering? Because she has certain thoughts, deep down something that's more subconscious. Sometimes they come out in large screams, so it's too difficult, because they can't stand it. They say, oh, how can I go through this? And sometimes that remains a little bit with the person, even after birth, the mother after birth. She gets broken entirely, and then she says, I don't want to have another baby. Until she learns gradually to recognize the fantastic miracle of having a baby. So this is what's going, the Jewish people's going through. And which galus is that? Because the galus of the different exiles which might come upon the people of Israel if we don't listen to Hashem are described by hints, and also in general terms they're described in Chumash. And then in more detailed terms we have them very much in the prophecy of Yechezkel, and then later in the visions of Daniel. And we see there are four different galuyot, apart from the original galut, which is Mitzrayim, where we started. We were born in the galut. Jewish people were born in exile as a nation because we had to learn to have, it says constantly, the Chumash, we have to learn why we have born in suffering. You tell me why. It says Chumash constantly. We don't always realize what it means. Why do you always mention Ani Hashem shall say to the Meretz Mitzrayim? Even the Decalogue begins like that. Why? Why is that so important? More important to know that Hashem created us. No, it's not. Everybody who's born in the world and believes in Hashem knows Hashem created us. That's enough to go and serve Him. And the Decalogue is intended also for all the nations, but it's intended through Israel for all the nations. Why through Israel? And why do you mention Yetziat Mitzrayim all the time?
Yeah, because if it didn't bring us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be there today.
That's when we became a nation.
Huh?
That's when we became a nation.
Yes.
That's when we were crying out in sorrow for Hashem.
Yeah.
And He took us out from our suffering and then brought us joy.
Yeah.
That's when we were chosen.
Yeah.
When we almost reached our highest peak, according to the Kabbalists, that we almost reached the highest peak, we almost undid what Adam did. Yeah. Almost at that point. But can I ask a question? Would you say that the generation, that the Mashiach's birth pains will be painful or pleasant? That the generation that's coming up is going to be either all wicked or all righteous?
You ever hear of a pain, of a pleasant fantasy?
it's all pain.
It's not going to be pleasant.
Look, so, anyway, the main message, it's given constantly, is that a Jew has to pursue loving kindness. That means whatever he has, he must know his priority is to give to those who do not have. Because thereby we link up with Hashem. Hashem is giving us all the time. Everything that He does is giving us. We say Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. Hashem is the ideal of loving kindness. But in order that loving kindness should be active, it's got to be limited by Gevura. Elokim is Midas Adin. It's got to be kindness but not kindness, which is total kindness, it would seem, and does not recognize that if you are kind to evil powers, whether in yourself or in others, then the evil powers can take over. And therefore, part of your approach to life has to be to give and give and give, but not to give to such an extent that the loving kindness will go over the borders of the bank. That's why it says that your chesed should flow like a river. A river can only give a lot of fertility to a desert area if it keeps flowing. But if it can't flow, it's got no banks, the river turns into a swamp. And the swamp stagnates, does harm. So the same applied to loving kindness. Parents, for example, who have enormous love for their children, and they don't control it. In other words, they'll do whatever the children want. What they say the child wants is, I've got to give it to them. They'll ruin their baby's digestion. They'll give them sickness. And when they go over, they'll ruin their children's self-discipline. Because they never self, they got ever took everything for granted. Their parents gave them everything they wanted. As a result of it, they squandered it. And they thought, oh, people have to give me. I've got to receive. This time, I'm spoiled. And also a person himself, if he will not control his enormous desire to give, he might even reach the stage when he gives in to his own evil instincts. But the evil instincts are always at work. The greater you are, the greater is also the opposite. The power of evil self-centeredness and materialism, which so easily brings a person to be unaware of the way in which becoming a slave to his baser instincts and becomes so evil sometimes that the self becomes so important and a person just ignores other people. And he's blind to his own way of indulging in his pleasure pursuit for himself. Therefore, chesed needs to be controlled. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But Hashem, He gives us the power of self-discipline so that we will learn to reach a higher level using the maximum of our physical instincts in order to use them to strengthen our pursuit of loving kindness instead of abusing them by allowing them to rule our changing moods. That's very important to know. That's part of the principle of chesed. Has to go together with tzedakah. So when Avraham Avinu, who was the pillar, the epitome of loving kindness, because he recognized loving kindness given us constantly by Hashem, but there's a limit. Sodom and Amorah. Yes, all right, be kind to Sodom and Amorah. If they're not going to be the ruling influence in the Middle East, then he'd be kind to them. This was a society which was very affluent and used their affluence to look aside from any duties towards those who don't have. They only thought of themselves. They were big capitalists and their mind was only upon how they become more rich and have more possessions. And maybe Sodom and Amorah would spread its influence over the whole of the Middle East. And so Hashem said, I have to destroy them. Because if I don't destroy them, then the whole purpose of man will be ruined. I was hoping this land, Eretz Shara'eka, will become the land of the progenitors of the Abraham, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of the nation that should build up here a model society. Model society could be based on chesed also. So here there's an anti-chesed movement going along. So we have to destroy it. But he said, I'm going to make Abraham, that means the people of Israel, a partner. The people of Israel were a partner with Hashem. But it said, why did Hashem consult with Abraham? Because I know that he is so strong in his faith and closest to me. And he left aside Mesopotamia, which was a very luxurious area. And he came all this way to go, and he knew that this land would become the land of Eretz Shara'eka, the land where Hashem will be able to demonstrate the power of loving kindness in the right manner. See, there was an anti-chesed society building up. So you said that he's my partner, the Peter is my partner. He says, I know that he will give a testament to his, to those of his descendants that follow his path, that they will walk on the Derech Hashem, Lasot Tzedakah Mishpat, the path of Hashem to do charity and justice. That means loving kindness and justice, going to go together. And that is the whole purpose of Abraham, bringing blessing to the world, the whole purpose of the Jewish people, is to come from him. And in fact, it's interesting, we have today, what's the word halakha mean?
Huh?
Means to walk.
Walk on the way.
But where does that term come from? So the most ancient in dictionary of Talmudic terms is the Aruch. We have it here. The Shiva, it's a long dictionary. I mean, the way it's very detailed, but it goes back to Rishonim, an early dictionary of the Gemara, or the expression of the Gemara. So he says, what's halacha? Halacha is based upon the Derech Hashem. Because the purpose of the people of Israel is to walk on the path of Hashem. What's it mean, the path of Hashem? So it says in Tehillim, Ashrei Tmimei Derech, who's got the perfect path? Ha'olchim b'Torah Hashem. Those who walk in the path of Hashem, that's the Torah. What's the essence of the Torah? It's the Tzedakah Mishpat. The halacha teaches us how to translate the concepts of love combined with justice into every aspect, individual, national, international life. That's the halacha. So what did Hashem say? Abraham pleaded with him non-stop. It's also a very deep teaching there. But in the end, the compromise was between Hashem and his father, which is the Jewish people. If it is a minion, in this instance, non-Jews have a minion also. If it is a minion of people who are innocent in that society, they're innocent of all the evils which come from ignoring the strange and the poor, then I'm not going to destroy Sodom. But there wasn't a minion, so I had to destroy them. And that's why they pulled out Lot. Lot thought, you know, even with certain ways he could change the society, couldn't change it. So, but his, you know, his sons-in-laws wouldn't go with him. But sons-in-laws were from Sodom, too much influence. But the Malachim came to pull him out. They did have a minion, so Sodom and Amorah. We have today Sodom and Amorah. We just have the remnant of all the fantastic minerals that existed, even from things that were destroyed. It's also deeper teaching there. Today, there are ways of healing. They come to be healed from all over the world in the spas which exist in the Sodom area, apart from the other enormous wealth that exists, the wealth of mineral wealth. Okay, so this is how it all began. So now we find the big hint at the worst galut of all. Which is the worst galut? Galut of Egypt, first one. The war. The galut comes to teach us how to treat those who don't have here.
Europe. Nazi Germany.
That's a product of Esau. Yeah. A product of Esau, the concept of Esau, and Amalek. Esau and Amalek was part of Esau. Esau and Amalek, they wanted to exterminate the Jewish people. Haman said, I want to exterminate the Jewish people because they have a conscience. Destroy the conscience, the Tzelem Elokim. And Avraham, the people of Israel, we're here to develop the conscience, which is the Tzelem Elokim, which exists in every human being, deep down. And they want to destroy it. And the worst was the Holocaust. Yeah, so it would appear, which comes from Esau. But not entirely from who joined in the Holocaust?
The Mufti of Jerusalem.
We can't say that the whole Arab world, the good part of the Arab world, very much against the Holocaust. There's a small part today that still are. But there was, we can say, distortion of the moral trend in the Quran, which became its called its most violent aspect, came from those Muslims who had settled over the last few hundred years and their products settled in the area of Eretz Israel. And that's going to be the worst suffering of all, when the nations of the world will join in with stopping the people of Israel to repossess Eretz Israel, because the Mashiach will come, so it's clear, to come from somewhere with Eretz Israel. They'll come from Eretz Israel, not from Oslanda, from Eretz Israel. And by the way, I'll just say that in order to emphasize this, this is a tool you should use. So if you ever meet Mashiachistim, yeah, the Mashiach, according to all traditions, comes from Eretz Israel. I'm not going to do this, it comes from Samaria, maybe. It's a whole question where he will arise. But it's clear from the prophets that he will arise from Eretz Israel. And therefore, someone who refused to go to Eretz Israel, why did he refuse? I asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, why did he come to Eretz Israel? He said, well, they might then regard me as the Mashiach. And that's what he wanted to avoid. In fact, he declared once, I wasn't present, but people were present. He said in one of his shmuzim, anyone who thinks I'm the Mashiach shall not come to my Beit HaMidrash. But to me, he also said, which went through Fuka Morris, to prove that he can't be the Mashiach. And he also wrote a commentary on the Rambam, who crystallizes the teaching of the prophets and of the sages concerning the Mashiach, where it's clear the Mashiach can only arise in Eretz Israel. So, of course, the Mashiachistim, they invent this, they say, oh, well, already he didn't come to Eretz Israel when he was alive, but he's going to be revived. Chiyat HaMitim will take over, revived. When he'll be revived, he will arise in Eretz Israel, the same with Baba Shalom. No, we don't know what will happen after Chiyat HaMitim. But that he should, like they say, he really is still living, yeah? And therefore you can take messages from his grave or whatever, and they won't say after his name, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Yeah? So this is all a distortion. The Rebbe was 100% against being regarded Mashiach, and he wrote a commentary, especially on the Rambam, from which it's proven that he can't be the Mashiach. But what do we see? The worst period, the most difficult one, both spiritually and even more physically, before the birth of Mashiach, Tzchavle Mashiach, it comes through which galut? Not through the galut of Edom, but in the galut of Edom of Esav, it's true the Mufti of Jerusalem was a partner. And he created the massacre, as you know, of Yeshiva in Hebron, where they're on good terms with the Muslims, and they're quite peaceful. And it was from the Muslims there, they accepted this yeshiva, some of the greatest gedolim were there, and came one day, they killed most of the people in the yeshiva. And that's why you have today, they had to move to Yerushalayim, they had no choice. The remnant, just a few of them, came to Yerushalayim, and they built up the yeshiva at Hebron, where I also had the privilege to learn as a bachur. And my children learned in that yeshiva until today, my grandchildren. Yeshiva at Hebron is one of the major yeshivas in Yerushalayim. But why is it called Hebron? It's not in Hebron. Because it was born in Hebron. It started in Slobodka. They moved part of the yeshiva to Hebron. Came north to Jerusalem, arranged a massacre in Jerusalem as well. As well as in 1939, before Hitler came to power. And he made that terrible massacre. And he encouraged that we've got to make, try and kill all the Jews, especially the Jews who are in Palestine. Because Palestine's got to belong to us. And now we see today the way in which the whole world is beginning to say this. And unfortunately, even the Pope, a few weeks ago, he said he's recognizing the Palestinian state entirely. Yeah? And Israel has to go back to the 1967 borders. And who says he hasn't recognized Israel? No recognition of Israel here. That's present Pope. And the present Pope is trying to get hold of Har Zion. No, also at the same time. So the Christians are now siding with the Muslims, some of the Christians. The evangelists are the opposite. The evangelists say no, they've got another approach. But we see today the intense, fundamental interpretation of the Muslim has gone beyond the Mufti of Jerusalem. And the Mufti of Jerusalem prepared death camps, it's true, prepared death camps in Palestine. And the truth is that, in a way, Hashem arranged it that the fact the Mufti of Jerusalem was involved created the downfall of the Nazi regime. How? If you look at it in retrospect, how? You know how?
They lost in the desert, the pipes became full of salt water, and Rommel had to flee.
Yeah. The biggest army of the Nazis was the army under Rommel. He was the greatest general of Hitler. And that army was employed to go and help the attack in Russia, against Russia, was Stalingrad, you know. And he got very difficult there. He got stuck there. And he needed a lot of power to go and retain the strength of the German army against the Russians. They found the Russian winter was extremely difficult. But what did he do? The Mufti said, no, before you do that, we have to destroy all the Jews in Palestine. And he prepared a list of all the Jews in Palestine. That time there were less than a million, there were a few hundred thousand. 200,000 Jews in Palestine. He had the whole list of them, prepared death camps for them, where they also all be killed. And it would appear they would be killed all through gas. Maybe without gas, it wasn't so clear, but he prepared all the death camps, place for them. And he said, in order to do this, at that time, Palestine was under British mandate. So he said, we've got a Jewish brigade was also formed to help in Palestine. So he said, Rommel's army is much stronger than the Jewish army over there. So therefore, he diverted Rommel's army to go all the way and conquer North Africa, a bit of Egypt, and go through to Sinai, and from there to arrange the attack against the British. And the army of Germans is much stronger than any part of the mandate. The British soldiers were so busy protecting England and also in Europe, tried to help at the time. But that enough, because the Germans were all the time attacking England with different types of bombs, not very ordinary warfare, ordinary bit non-conventional, which I remember from my childhood, bombs they shot at different parts of England. We had to be evacuated. It was happening all at the same time. And what happened was that the British army were able to destroy a good part of Rommel's army, and they had to retreat. They had to retreat because Rommel had to retreat. And they won the battle, the British won the battle, after prayers and the miracles occurred. So, this is what happened at that time. But then you all know the late history of the Jewish state. Now, there were many miracles that the Jewish state was able to be set up and to survive. Meanwhile, ask a question. If you've got any questions or comments.
One of the miracles that happened was that the Nazi water supply became contaminated by seawater salt.
That's right.
And they just weakened them, and that's with the heat and everything. It's analogous to the snow and the freezing weather in Russia and Stalingrad, which didn't. It was really Mother Nature also, Hashem's help, you know, to committed suicide.
Anyway, that was the beginning of Hitler's downfall. So there it had a positive result. But what happened afterwards? So you know there was a long time when the nation of the world, they gave support to Israel after the Six-Day War. But what do we see today? Today we see that one of the main aspects of anti-Semitism is particularly anti-Israel. And not just anti-Israel as the state, but there's a policy of Iran, they say it openly non-stop, they want to destroy all the Jews in Israel. In fact, Iran say, we treat our Jews nicely. Their own Jews, they treat quite well, not too bad. They let them live, they have a synagogue. That's Iran. But Daesh go further, no. I think Daesh even destroyed the place of the grave of Mordechai Esther in Iran, in Iraq or something. They are against...
Destroyed
the grave of Yonah. Yonah, the prophet. Yonah.
And also
Eliyahu. So we see we've got Muslim movements or Iranian movements that want to, just like Omar, who want to go and destroy every Jew in the land of Israel. We say today anti-Israelism, which comes mainly from the Muslims against Israel, is connected with the neo-Nazis. The neo-Nazis combined the two. In fact, I've read now a more thorough account of what happened in London, in private, or in Bonneville, Bonneville, still going to burn the Talmud, tear the flag, but they weren't allowed to do it at the demonstration. The demonstration was a small demonstration, right next to Downing Street, in the place of the resident Prime Minister, near there in Whitehall, and the British police, they were very cooperative, and they came in large numbers, but they stopped them doing anything dangerous. They only allowed a demonstration for an hour, they didn't allow them to make a march. But they came with flags of the Nazis, and flags of the Palestinians. So it goes together, anti-Israel and anti-Jews. Now the source of all this is what it says in Bereishis, which gives the seed to the future of the people of Israel. And it says in the Chumash, if you go to more deeply, and in the prophets, that the last Galut was the Galut of Ishmael, which is an extension from the previous Galuyot, but it's the most cruel of all. So it's fantastic what's already said in the Chumash. And if you turn to last week's Parsha, with a deeper comment of the oral tradition, it is enormous. I just want to see from last week's passage where there's one pasuk which is explained in Pirkei Avot, which is one of the oldest midrashim, as follows: that all the nations of the world have names in the Tanakh, but only the people of Israel was given the name Aleph Lamed, Yisrael. Aleph Lamed is God. Because people of Israel are the people whose essence is to represent God in this world, the one God, Hey, Aleph Lamed. And there's only one other nation that's given that name, which is that?
Ishmael.
It says God will listen. He listens to the prayers, Ishmael, who also believe in one God. And the reason, because this name Aleph Lamed means the power of loving kindness. So the power of loving kindness, which is the power of Hashem, exists in Islam, exists amongst the people of Israel. And today I'll just give you the pasuk from last week's parsha, when Bilam goes giving a prophecy, what's going to happen at the end of days? Achrit Hayamim. Achrit Hayamim is the time of the Mashiach, when the Mashiach will come. So it's mentioned in Bereishit, if you play, it's mentioned in many places in Chumash, and also mentioned in all the prophets. So it says there, on, you will turn to page.
Page
page 192, it's page chapter 24, verse 23. It says, "Oy, mi yechem mi sumo el." Woe, who's going to live from having been given the name Aleph Lamed? So who was given the name Aleph Lamed, Sumo El? The people of Israel. That's the usual interpretation. People that want to know, it doesn't mean the people of Israel. Misuma El means Ishmael. Because the question, who's going to live when the prophecy which was given to Hagar concerning Ishmael, he's going to rule over the world, and the world will be against him, but because he's so wild, he's got big wild, he's going to be a human being who is characterized by being the wildest group in the world, Perek, like the wildest animal. And there's going to be a time, Yadu, he wants to attack everybody, but everybody will be against him. This is a reference to the battles which will take place between all the nations of the world against the Muslim key people. And the Muslim people are going to fight back with wildness. And then the question will be, who's going to live? Misuma El. And Suma El is some El. Some El is the poison of God. Now the people have, it's God, but it's poison. Poison can be used to destroy evil people. So what's going to happen at the end? It says that the Western powers, says almost explicitly, the Chumash, and more explicitly than the Prophet, the Western powers are going to have battles with the Muslim powers with the center of Yerushalayim. They both want Yerushalayim. And they're going to fight one against the other. And the people of Israel will be partly protected by, instead of them killing the Jews, they'll kill one another. And Soma'el is such a question, Ishmael. This has to do also, really the truth is, Soma'el, you can also even spell with the Sin. Because Sin and Samach interchange. You know, the Sin, if you go more deeply in the Hebrew language, the deep aspect to this, Sin has a dot on the right side, it's called Sin, and it's Israel. It also contains the concept, contained even in Sar'el, when God will rule. The rulership of God will also contain even the left side, the Midat Adin. But it being the Zchut of Kael, the recognition of Hashem being the God of Chesed. On the other hand, Yishmael, whose name is with a Sheen, on the right side, because of Chesed, and they also believe in one God, but they're going to change it to the left side. In other words, there is an element of wildness which will take over the religion. And as a result of that, they will go against Hashem. So although Hashem listens to them, but when they reach the level of Sumael, of Samael, that they're going to be an evil people, they're going to do cruel acts of murder, well, then their belief in Hashem is a blasphemy. So that's the situation we're at now with Daesh, and also even with Iran. When they say, our whole aim is to destroy every Jew in the land of Israel. So they're building themselves. We'll have to stop at this point. The guests coming.
I guess
we'll have to continue, even with questions. I don't have time. There's someone waiting. Sorry. Thank you very much. But Edward, please, at the beginning of tomorrow's year, you can ask me any questions. Okay, good.
I've got an observation. In the wild, talking about Perek Adam, in the wild, how do the cheetahs, the lions go for their prey?